This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow, and now we turn to look at what's new in the hot young field of aging research. People, you know, they've been searching for something as mythical as agelessness since Ponce de Leon in The Fountain of Youth. You remember him. And it's a topic that philosophers and writers and researchers have been thinking about for a lot longer. Thankfully, scientists these days are after something a lot more attainable than immortality. The goal now is simply to live healthier, longer, and new advances are being made rapidly, many of them by my two guests. One of them, a pioneer in the field of molecular biology and aging. The second, an expert in the role diet and exercise play in aging. Let me introduce them now to you. Cynthia Kenyon, Vice President of Aging Research at Calico, one of Google's Alphabet companies, and she's Emeritus Professor from the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Kenyon, welcome back to Science Friday.
Hi, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Eric Verdin is President and CEO of the Buck Institute for Research on Aging. Dr. Verdin, welcome to Science Friday.
Delighted to be here.
So I talk about, you know, this is the new age of it's young, but we seems like we've been studying aging for a while. What is new about studying aging now, Cynthia?
Well, basically, for years and years, like you said at the very beginning, people wanted something like a fountain of youth, but really, most people really believed that there was just nothing you could do about aging. It was just something that happens.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. And in the last 20 years or so, there's really been a complete shift, a paradigm shift in our thinking. And the reason for that is we now know that you can take animals in the laboratory and you can perturb them. You can change their genes or do other things, kind of interventions for them. And you can slow down the rate of aging and extend their lifespan by a lot. Like you can double it or even more than that in some cases. So the animals look normal. It's just that they're aging more slowly. So I think that has really made people think, oh my gosh, first of all, if it can happen for animals, what about people? And second, how would we do that, and would we stay healthy, you know? Because, as you said, we really want, the prime goal is to have a very healthy life in old age.
So, Dr. Verdin, we don't have to accept this idea that we naturally have to grow old, lose our abilities, our muscles, our mental capacities. There is something we can do about that.
No, and this is what this amazing field has actually been showing, that in some of the interventions that we can have in animal models, they not only live longer, but their lifespan and their health span, which we define as the healthy years of life, actually increase. So these animals not only live longer, but they are suffering less from what we typically associate as the chronic disease of aging.
Hmm. So let's talk about then the main pathways of aging that are most popular right now in aging research. Eric, tell us about those.
So the key pathways, one of the oldest experiments that was conducted looking at aging was looking at calorie restriction. This is the idea of decrease the calorie intake that an animal will have. And this is in many animal species associated with an increase in lifespan. And so that has early pointed a very bright light on metabolism and diet and nutrition as one of the key variables that controls lifespan. And this is is now being explored actually in humans with some novel medicines that have been used in the past that are thought to be doing the same thing in humans.
And Dr. Kenyon, which of these pathways does your work fall under?
Well, we found what we did in our laboratory was we just asked a simple question, you know, are there genes for aging? Can you change genes and slow down aging? And there were hints that you could, and we found that there's one particular gene, and when we changed it, we sort of damaged it, basically. What we found was that we doubled the lifespan and slowed down aging. Now, when we and others studied those genes to find out how on earth they did that, what we found was really, really interesting. We found that they're part of a network that the body has, the animals and people too, that sort of is a sort of surveillance network. It keeps an eye on the environment. And if there are signs of dangerous conditions, for example, food limitation, like Eric just mentioned, or various kinds of stress, this network creates a kind of a shift in the physiology of the body from sort of a happy-go-lucky state to a state in which the body is trying to protect itself. And so what happens is a lot of genes get switched on, and they encode all sorts of protective processes. They encode proteins that help damaged proteins be turned over faster, that strengthen the immune system, that block damage from free radicals and oxidative damage. So they do all sorts of different things all together to protect the body. So it turns out that activating this network does allow the animal to survive food limitation and all these other things, but in addition, it seems to protect the body from aging itself, from the damage that's part of aging. So if you switch this on, which we did in the laboratory, then an animal will live longer, and it will have a slower rate of aging. And as Eric says, it's also resistant to many different diseases.
Would you call this an aging gene then? Is it possible?
Yes. I mean, you could call it an aging. It's a gene that controls aging. It also controls, like I said, it controls the animal's, or maybe the person's too, ability to respond to everyday stresses in the environment. So it's not only for aging. The thing that's really cool is that certain species in nature live longer than others. Like, for example, there are bats that can live to be about 40 years old. And when you look at their genes, what you find is that it looks like this protective system is just on all the time. So it's not just that it comes on sometimes, it's always on. And that's probably why these animals can live so long.
Is it possible to test this out in people, to see this gene, if it works?
Yes, I think it is possible. There is, in fact, it's interesting. So there is a drug called rapamycin that is approved by the FDA, and it's given to people who have had organ transplants. It prevents the body from rejecting the organ transplant. Now, and it's you know, you can take it for years and years. There are side effects, so I don't recommend taking it, and scientists want to make a better version without the side effects. But basically, what this does is it activates this protective response. And if you give rapamycin to animals, all different kinds of animals, little worms, fruit flies, mice, they live longer, and they seem to be aging more slowly, and they get less cancer, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I don't know that it would really slow down aging in people. No one does, but it's possible. And actually, there are scientists at the University of Washington now who are trying to start doing studies with pet dogs to give, you know, sign up dog owners and give the dogs very low doses of rapamycin to see whether it can make them healthier. And they've done a little trial, a little pilot study, and there are, let's just say, glimmers of hope. They need more animals to be sure, but it's certainly nothing bad, and so far, maybe some things that are good about it. So this is just one little area. There's a whole lot of areas, but this is just one little area that people are excited about.
And Eric, let's talk about things that we can control, like diet and exercise and aging. Can we actually affect our health and age better that way?
Absolutely. One of my favorite quotes in the field is from Jack LaLanne, who said, "Nutrition is queen, exercise is king. Put them together, and you have a kingdom." And today, this is forms the basis of what I think constitutes healthy aging. And a very active field of investigation is, for example, the idea of identifying what is it about nutrition, for example, that actually makes us live longer. And so I talked about calorie restriction early. The field now is looking for what we call calorie restriction mimetics. And these would be drugs, small molecules that would actually mimic the effect of calorie restriction. Cynthia just talked about rapamycin. This is one example. Another example that is actually quite prominent right now is metformin. So metformin is a drug that is being used for diabetes. It's actually called glucophage. It's one of the most prescribed drug for diabetes. It turns out that diabetics who are on glucophage live longer than non-diabetics. And this is a study that was done a number of years ago. suggesting that metformin might have an anti-aging effect. And so this has triggered a lot of interest from one of our colleagues, actually, near Barzilai, Albert Einstein, to ask the question, what would happen if we were to put non-diabetics or people without any disease on metformin and follow them for a number of years? Would we prevent the development of the chronic disease of aging? And this is not done in a vacuum, because a lot of work in mice and other model system has shown that metformin prevents cancer and increases lifespan and is generally protective. So that's probably one of the key things about the field of aging today, is the idea that we're right at the cusp of entering the clinic with humans and starting to test what the work that's been done at the Buck and other places during the last 20 years, building our understanding of the aging process and really starting to translate it into the clinic. So we could not be more excited about this inflection point.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to the phones. Listeners are here. San Jose, Steve, welcome to Science Friday.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I love the program.
Thank you.
I'm 77. 35 years ago, I established a fitness routine involving aerobic training and strength training. I eat and drink everything I want, and that is my secret. I wonder what the science shows about that.
Okay, thanks for calling. You know, there is new research, Eric and Cynthia, that shows that people, you don't have to put up with muscle wasting and things like we always thought you had to, that lifting weights and exercise is very important as you age.
There's a very large body of work that really indicates that exercise is one of the most beneficial activities that you can undertake if you want to live longer. What is much less clear is how actually this happens. And so there's a lot of focus right now that you probably have seen in the popular press, reflecting all the work that's going on at this point, trying to understand what is it about exercise and what form of exercise actually are beneficial. Is it endurance, or is it 10,000 step on your Fitbit, or is it actually high intensity interval training? And these types of questions is where the field is moving now, trying to really address these key questions and providing, you know, the general public and everyone with the information that would lead to the most beneficial way of exercising.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. We have another question. Let's go to Patrick in Sacramento. Hi, Patrick. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hello. Thank you. Hey, I have a question. If organisms have the ability to upregulate these stress-resistance anti-aging genes, why do they not do so at all times? That must imply that there's a real metabolic or other cost that we don't yet recognize.
Good question. Cynthia, have you got an answer for that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, of course, we don't know. These are the kinds of questions that we'll never know the answers to. But one possibility that makes a lot of sense is that it takes more energy, in a way, more resources to elaborate a body that can protect itself from anything. It's like if you build a house, you can build a little shack, or you can build a one with, you know, giant concrete walls, and it's going to take a lot more, it's going to be a lot harder to build the sturdier one. But if there's never any wind and it's a very mild climate, the shack might be just fine. On the other hand, if there are hurricanes, you really want you want that strength from the protected, fortified structure. And so I think that could be the answer. In fact, that's why I think animals bring out this protective ability when they need it, so that they don't have to spend all their food on that.
This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. We're talking about aging. Cynthia, what would an anti-aging drug look like? How would it be used? Who would it be for?
Well, that's a terrific question. Right now, the world we live in, if you wanted to get a drug that you think will slow down aging approved, since, at least in animals, most of the interventions that we can perform also postpone the diseases of aging. So there's something, let me just back up here, there's something about aging that makes you very susceptible to all sorts of diseases: cardiovascular disease, cancer, cognitive disease, diabetes. And the conditions that slow down aging seem to postpone the onset of the diseases, and when they do come, they seem to be milder. So what a person could do is to get a drug approved for a disease. If you have a a drug that you think will slow down aging, and it also has an effect on cancer, you should be able to get it approved for cancer, as long as it's not. And that, the good thing about that is, if it's beneficial for cancer, that's terrific. And also, that process involves looking for side effects, you know. So it's a safety process, I think. So anyway, once you get the drug approved for something like that, then it's out there. And then, you know, for example, in the case of metformin, as Eric said, it was originally prescribed for diabetes. And then people started to realize that the diabetics who were taking metformin were not getting cancer and they weren't getting heart disease. So that's the kind of thing that makes you wonder whether a drug that you might already be taking, in this case, you know, might be affecting aging.
Well, people who are listening to this, they're going to say, and we're going to get the emails, you're going to get them, where do I get this metformin stuff? How do I get that, my hands on it? What do you say to them?
I think you should try to convince your physician that you are eligible for it. It turns out that, to be honest, quite a few people in the aging field actually are on metformin because they've decided not to wait for the result of the experiment. Generally, metformin is a very safe medicine. It's been given to millions of people. And I think this is a very personal decision. It is not approved, you know, in its current indication as an anti-aging medicine. And I think with any medicine, this is a word of caution. There are side effects, and I think it's a personal decision. But if you are in a state where you would be called pre-diabetic, there are certainly many arguments why you should consider asking your physician to prescribe it for you.
All right,
this is something to discuss with him or her.
It's the old phrase, ask your doctor. Yeah,
exactly.
And we should say one more thing about this.
Well, again, very quickly. You want to say one more?
If you give metformin to a mouse, it doesn't make the mouse immortal. In fact, in some experiments, just because I don't want people to get too excited, it has had no effect on lifespan, and sometimes it has a small effect, like a 6 to 10% effect. So it's not this. It's not
the fountain of youth. Cynthia Kenyon, Vice President of Aging Research in the Calico, at Calico. Eric Verdin, President and CEO of the Buck Institute for Research on Aging.